He's a coward. The president of South Africa is a coward. And we can't tolerate these things happening here in South Africa. Amongst us Arab, we are poor people. And they target the poor people. No matter color, they're using us. That's why if we are together, we're going to bring this government down.
From Sunday, we've not received any tankers at all to assist the community to their places of employment. Children needed to get back to schools. And unfortunately, there was no water. They were promised water in their taps at 3 o'clock this morning. And we cannot have a community treated like orphans.
Catch all the latest local, provincial to national news updates on the afternoon current affairs. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 1 o'clock afternoon. Radio and FM.
Hierdie stasie werk onder die regulasies van die Onafhanklike Kommunikasie-Owerheid van Suid-Afrika, ICASA. Indien 'n luisteraar glo dat ons nie aan hierdie regulasies voldoen nie, kan 'n formele skriftelike klagte direk aan ICASA ingedien word by consume@icasa.org.za of deur te skakel na 012-568-3000.
It is on to this minute where we say we are nothing but happier, especially on this day where matriculants are receiving their results. And Northern Cape on the other side says that we have achieved nothing but 87.8% matric pass rate, placing the province on the sixth nationally, in whereby if we compare it to the previous year, it was... another thing. But anyways, with all of that being said, stay tuned as we're going to be bringing you more of the matric results and some of the reactions when it comes to the schools, particularly when it comes to the learners. But with all of that being said, I'm CP Ngongla behind the mic on this minute, whereby it is 13 minutes past 1 o'clock on the 13th of Lent, January 2026. So we'd like to say thank you to Marcelina McDonald, bringing us the latest the news bulletin in Afrikaans. Anyway, with all of that being said, on you can reach us on WhatsApp, which is 066-252-0187, 066-252-0187. Not to forget our Facebook page, which is Radio NFM 89-98. With all of that Lent's excitement is said to be happening on around in South Africa, this moment we'd like to shine to the pre-Lent last week hot topic, and whereby turning our attention to the unfolding international developments involving United States and Venezuela, affecting also other countries globally. In a way, a relationship long marked by political tension and economic sanction and the diplomatic standoff. In a way, by we all know the recent developments have once again placed the spotlight onto the issues of oil, governance, sanctions, and the broader global impact. With all of that, to help us to understand what is says to be happening, we're being joined by none other than Ama Lechak, a respected and a current affairs content creator who is said to be breaking down some of these complex global issues, mostly when it comes to South Africa. With all of that being said, Mr. Jatla, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
With all of that being said, we know that from last or the previous weeks, we started the year with nothing but a bombs which have been thrown left and right and center, which is onto the forefront, it says to be America, starting with the matters of Iran. There's Nigeria on the other side. And now it has been on last week, the spotlight was on Venezuela. Tell us, what is there to be happening?
So essentially, the United States has, abducted, and I use the word abducted on purpose, abducted President Nicolas Maduro from Venezuela, and they're fighting issues of drug trafficking, and a new term they call narco-terrorism, which is essentially them being able to persecute people who are you know, distributing drugs under the Terrorism Act, and a number of other, issues such as corruption. The problem with this is that, you know, Nicolas Maduro is a current head of state, and according to international law, you cannot actually, you know, prosecute another head of state with your domestic laws. That's not how international law works. And so the whole international community is sitting and waiting to see what Donald Trump's next move is when we consider the fact that he has broken a number of international laws under the guise of, you know, trying to help free the Venezuelan people. But it's become more apparent that this is more about oil. As he has said verbatim that American companies will now take control of Venezuela's oil and take control of the country.
Having that Venezuela was the recent country which has been attacked, particularly focusing also on its president, why would you say that some of the countries like Nigeria, which is also an oil-driven country, the attention got quickly out of the way and focusing on Venezuela, possibly other sides, which is Greenland and other countries?
Well, I think, first of all, the attack on Nigeria was done so quietly, knowing that most of Africa was enjoying December. I thought that was quite a strategic move on their part, that we wouldn't really focus on it in terms of international news. But from my perspective, it seems like Donald Trump has realized he is losing not only soft power, but power in general in the world, and he's trying to take it back. And he also realizes that, or rather, I think he realizes that the world is moving away from the petrodollar. You've got Saudi Arabia starting to trade in its own currency. You've got Russia and China already trading in their own currency. So I think we're witnessing, the downfall, or the very slow downfall of America in the next 3 or 4 years. And I think it's just a grasp for power. But it doesn't really make sense why he wants Greenland, why he wants all these countries. If you think about it logically, you cannot just go and take over a place, but it seems to be possible when we're talking about countries in the third world.
And you spoke earlier on about the international law which has been breached. What would you say are some of those laws, or possibly how is it affecting the international law of what the America is doing to other countries by force, violating some of the its places and communities, which are placing them to live in fear?
Yeah, so I think in terms of international law, we are currently seeing the disintegration of international law as we saw it, post-World War II. It was created in order to avoid another world war. But I think the most important international law that has been violated is the UN. It's part of the UN Charter, and it is Article 2, Paragraph 4, which prohibits the threat or use of force against territorial integrity or political independence of any state. In other words, you cannot just arrive into my country and do what you want, regardless of what information you might have. That international law protects sovereign states and their borders and their own internal laws. You know, the U.S. is currently claiming self-defense against, drug trafficking. However, international law, only allows self-defense against armed attack and not a criminal activity. And so if we're thinking about the basis of what Donald Trump is saying, he's saying that the Venezuelan government, and specifically Nicolas Maduro, is the head of a drug trafficking organization and is bringing drugs into the United States. That's good and well, if you have those issues with him, but what international law says is that you cannot now kidnap him and bring him into your own country, because he is protected by the laws of Venezuela. And it is the Venezuelan people who should be, we should essentially take care of whatever issues they are facing domestically. Should Venezuela, and might I add, Venezuela is one of the most unproblematic, Latin American countries. They haven't gone into wars with anyone. They pretty much keep to themselves. So, and they're not necessarily the ones producing the drugs. They just happen to be, sharing a border with Colombia, who is known to produce a lot of these drugs. And so they're kind of like in the way, and the drugs go through their country. Having said all of that, though, international law, it's become very hard to kind of implement it. And we saw in the last week Donald Trump also making threats of pulling out of the UN post the UN Security Council meeting. So, yeah, it's quite an interesting time that we're in.
Yeah. And because I would like to know also on the other side, in terms of your intake, Would there be a power plays in to showcase as to who is in power, having that the Russia is getting somewhere somehow involved, also including China, which are the most and the biggest players? We know that also, according to CNN, saying that President Donald Trump says that U.S. companies would like to have the access, particularly to Venezuela's vast oil reserves and some of the other commodities that caught his administration attention.
Yeah, so what is your question, excuse me?
I would like to know as to what would you say? Would you say that there would be any power play, having that Russia and China are also getting somewhere, somehow involved in this land play, which is being conducted by Trump?
Oh, yes, I understand. Well, Russia and China have been heavily invested in Venezuela. We know that Venezuela exports about 68% of its oil to China. We know Russia has built some infrastructure in and Venezuela. So there is a bit of a power play that's happening. And I think it all relates to, you know, the tariff war that we got last year between China and the United States. And it does feel like the United States is kind of bolstering up and trying to show that they're the ones who are in charge of the global society. But I don't see necessarily any conflicts between the three countries themselves. But what I do see is how what Trump has done has almost sort of opened up the floodgates for a country like China to now have precedent to take over Taiwan, a country like Russia to now have precedent to continue its war on Ukraine, because it is arguing that Ukraine is technically, you know, number one, persecuting its people in the Donbas region, but also is still part of old Russia, if you will. So I think what we're going to see now, or what we might possibly see, is kind of like a shift in the way that, you know, the global society behaves, because the United States can just go in and, you know, kidnap a president and then take over the oil reserve. What's stopping China to doing that with Taiwan and also some of the Japanese, you know, islands that they've, you know, been conflicting over with China? So what it has done more than anything is just set the wrong precedent for the international community and geopolitics in general.
Very quite interesting. Let us bring it home, because we know that our own people have a 2 cents to put into the matters. What did you say is your intake? And also we know that GNU within its own, they do not have the same statement, rather a different perspective when it comes to that political play.
Yeah, I mean, look, the GNU, South Africa is very new in the GNU, so you're still going to see very much opposing views from it. I'm not sure if anything would happen to South Africans, but I did see we made a comment as DIRCO through Crispin Peary, who's the spokesperson for DIRCO, who basically said on behalf of the GNU, because that is currently who's governing us, that they are calling on the UN to do something, and that we've seen in the past, I think with Iraq and Syria and Libya, I mean, the list is endless, that, you know, once you invade a country under the guise of coming to help with a problem, it kind of exacerbates the issue as opposed to solving it. So I think from a South African perspective, as, you know, champions and guardians of peace, I think we've adopted that. We're kind of just sitting on the wings waiting to see how this all unfolds.
How far are we from the same fate, like Venezuela situation, if it would fall on us as South Africans? Where do we stand? Because people are like, hey, the Humama Ulendo Enjimutsecha is another situation.
Look, number one, I think South Africa is geographically located in the best place. We are the last people. It's going to take too long to get to us. But we also know that the United States has a number of military bases, not only in Africa, but rumor has it across the border there in Botswana. I think it's very far-fetched that South Africa would be attacked by the United States. I do understand that we have global tensions between us, but I think it's very far-fetched because there isn't anything really that they can pinpoint. You know, with the Venezuela issue, you could argue that Nicolas Maduro is a dictator of sorts. You've had 7.7 million people flood Venezuela. You know, there can be an argument that is made by the Western countries that he was an oppressive leader. You cannot necessarily say that about South Africa. I mean, their own Americans and Europeans are vacationing in Cape Town every December through to April and in June, July. So South Africa, as it stands, I think we're fine. I think we are the least of their worries. it seems as if Trump is targeting specifically countries that have oil, if you look at Nigeria as well. And we don't have any oil. We have gold, we have coal. So I think for now we will be fine, but I think it is something that South African government is monitoring closely because we have had tensions with Donald Trump in the last year or so.
Because I was going to land a question in terms of the power players when it comes to the economy of South Africa, the people who are running the companies of gold or the minerals, basically, which are mostly the international funders, and also the people who are funding our politics, other people, other countries also, basically. So how would that come to in a play, having the interference, if it would come to that point by America?
Well, look, I can't speculate on that, unfortunately. But I think, you know, as South Africa, we are currently on our, we're currently on a bit of a back foot. I know the House of Representatives and Congress are currently going to be discussing AGOA, where America will be renewing AGOA. And for the listeners who don't know, AGOA is our almost like an agreement that we have with the United States, South Africa, and other African countries, where they can essentially, we export our goods duty-free. And that has been put on pause since Donald Trump came into power and our white genocide issue started coming into play. So I think South Africa is monitoring that closely. I mean, we saw Iran has pulled out of the naval exercise. And I think that was a little bit of us being like, okay, let's pander a little bit to the Americans and let's not, you know, upset them too much by, we're already upsetting them by having this naval exercise with China and Russia. And so I think geopolitically, the tensions are a bit high when it comes to South Africa and the rest of the world, but I cannot comment on, you know,
yeah. And when we're looking at earlier on, you mentioned the UN, United Nations Security Council.
Yeah.
What is your intake in terms of their response, having that also their land of views seems to be clashing in terms of how to respond pertaining to the matter?
So the UN is a very difficult one because, you know, you've got the Security Council who's technically supposed to manage all this stuff. And the Security Council is Russia, it's Britain, China, the United States. I forget the other two countries, but they're all Western countries. And they essentially have veto powers. And we've seen a lot of these veto powers come into play with Palestine and Israel. So the UN in this kind of situation is almost a sitting duck and kind of can't do much because whatever action they put forward, the United States will for sure veto it. But they did have, you know, put out a statement about 6 days ago, basically saying that they are opposed to everything that Trump is doing and that Nicolas Maduro should be returned to Venezuela because under customary, like I said earlier on, under customary international law, sitting heads of states are immune from criminal jurisdiction of foreign courts while in office. So it's almost as if the UN doesn't really have the power that we've always thought it does, but this doesn't necessarily mean that we should be, I've seen people making calls that the UN should be disbanded. The UN does a lot more work outside of making sure people aren't starting wars. You know, there's a lot of feeding that they do, a lot of research that the UN does. And so I think the UN currently has its hands tied because the person who's supposed to be the watchdog is currently the perpetrator, and that's the United States.
Would you say that this UN Security Council is effective in terms of their responses? Looking at some of the wars, Israel, the matter of Gaza, Russia and Ukraine, US and Venezuela, or US versus the world, basically at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of the developing countries and a lot of the global South in general has been asking for reform when it comes to the UN Security Council because it's very much imbalanced. If we're talking about an equal society, but you've got these five, six countries who have powers to essentially annul any decision that is made, then what is the purpose of speaking as if we are an equal global society? Because then we are not. And so I think a lot of calls, I think there was a lot of calls specifically during the G20 around, you know, the UN getting reforms and everyone either getting the same equal powers in terms of how decisions are made or dissolving that part of the UN, which would be the Security Council, and starting something new where every single person or rather every single representative of each state has the ability to voice their opinions, and those opinions are heard and are implemented. Because we've seen with Palestine and Israel, anytime, you know, decisions have been made by the UN, the United States has always been the one to veto. Same with Russia and Ukraine. So more than calling for the dissolvement of the UN, I would call for reform.
And lastly, as we're heading to the door, what does the future look like just out of in your own dreams pertaining when you're looking at it, the matters of these geopolitics? Because having Trump for the next 3 years, it's a long run.
Look, Trump doesn't seem to be in good health, and we will never wish for anyone's death. But if life is to take its course, then hopefully we'll do so. Yeah, so, but yeah, I think in the future we're going to see a lot more tensions as we see international law disintegrate in front of us. We're going to see a lot more conflicts, in the next coming years. We also have a cost of living crisis. We've got capitalism on the run. I think, as a millennial, I was promised this incredible future, and seemingly it seems to escape me. So I think the world just needs to prepare for more tension. I think the world is currently, we move in cycles, and so it was about time until we started our own World War III, of course. But I think we should be preparing for a lot more conflict and hopefully the end of American rule in that.
But lastly, I know I said lastly before that. Are we safe to go to America following the recent events of
ICE? Don't go to the United States. Nobody should be going to the United States. Not only are you not guaranteed entrance, even if you have your visa, because I think they've introduced some new law now where they essentially, I think I watched a video of an Australian who was explaining a story where he walked into the airport and he was pulled aside and they asked him for his phone and they already had all his transcripts of his Twitter and he had spoken about some or other shooting of some sort, and he was turned back. So I don't think it's necessarily good for anyone, no matter the country, to be traveling to the United States. I'm very concerned about the World Cup next year, how that's going to work out, because, for example, I think Iran has made it into the World Cup. Iran is currently banned from, any Iranian is banned from entering the United States. So what does that look like? What happens to all the countries in Latin America who play soccer and have qualified? Are they only going to play in Mexico? Are they only going to play in Canada? So I would advise nobody travel to America in the next 4 years. Let's just wait for Donald Trump to gone.
The decision is yours if you want to get your thing to be stamped. That it is, it says to be Ms. Amahle Tshaka. Thank you very much for your time and sharing your insights onto these ongoing dynamics between United States, or let rather say Donald Trump versus the world.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And congratulations to all the matrics you passed, and to those who didn't, this is not the end. Your future just started.
That is it, Mimi and Sir. Oh, Fasa Daso. And that brings us to the end of the discussion at this important international issues to our listeners right up in there. Stay tuned as we're going to be coming back with more when it comes to your matric results. References with chocolate, bitter, sweet, or in between. Cocoa caramel, if you know what I mean. Shorty, ooh wee, natural bounce, you never bought it. Ooh wee, ooh, my mind, I can't control it. I'm inspired, desired to be with the vibe. Chocolate, 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 chocolate. Chocolate, 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 chocolate. Chocolate.
Radio NFM has broadened our range with all new frequencies in the Kamiesberg area, 90.7, Namakwe, 98.1,
in the Kaima area with 89.7,
and the Richtersveld area with 89.1. So, stay tuned.
There it is, your time there, it is 23 minutes past two o'clock. You're still here with me, CP, and behind the mic. But anyways, with all of that a minute, as we know that the Northern Cape has achieved 87.79% metric pass rate, placing the province sixth nationally, it whereby this marks a steady improvement from 82.4% in the previous year, and whereby 2023 it was 75. So it was gradually increasingly doing so. But with all of that being said, let us go on quickly on to the best wishes from the African National Congress.
Mag wat weer eens bewijzen, die ANC prioritiseert kwaliteit en inclusieve onderwijs. Geluk aan al die scholen in die district, die opvoeders, ouders, niet-doserende personeel en die wijde schoolgemeenschap van de Magwa. Die ANC zien onderwijs als een gemeenschap samenleving kwestie. En daarom is het belangrijk om bij belangrijke rolspelers erkenning te geven in die resultaten. Ons school is bekend voor peak academische stelsels, met innovering en doelgerichte interventies om die kwaliteit en standaard te behouden en volhoudbaar te houden en te verbeteren. Die district toont aanzienlijke positieve groei in die climax. We wachten ons dat het zal verbeteren in die 2026 academische jaar. Namens die ANC van Namakwa willen ons van die geleentheid gebruik maken om weer eens leerders sterkte en alles van die beste toe te wensen met die 2026 schooljaar. Aan die leerders wat het niet gemaakt het, die laat het de hup stoot met motivering en doelgerichtheid wees. Om nog net weer in Syrië in klippen die pad te rollen, die tweede geleentheid matriek kans waar je kan schrijfvakken verbeteren, aan te grijpen en die falen te zien als een geleentheid om beter te kunnen doen. Die aanzien moedig ouders aan om betrokken te worden in het 2026 schooljaar, om zodoende te verzekeren dat onze kinderen uitslagen magnifiek en hoog succesvol zal zijn. En 2026, zodat ons kan bouwen op die bestaande goede resultaten. Baie, baie dankie aan het departement van onderwijs, schoolbestuurlichamen, zowel als die schoolseniorbestuur, onderwijsdistrict, schoolseniorbestuur, aansluitend kringbestuurders en opvoeders. Hou jullie voet op die paneel, zodat ons in 2026 jaar weer eens met trots kunnen kan vier. Alles van die beste. Doe je beste. Wees doelgericht. Wees gedisciplineerd. Wees toegewijd. En die resultaten zal tonen. Baie dankie.
Dit is tyd na Makwaland om saam te staan teen kanker. Die Kanker Relay for Life na Makwa vind plaas op die 14de en die 15de maart 2026 in Springbok. Kanker na Makwa nooi die hele na Makwa gemeenskap uit om spanne te registreer en deel te wees van hierdie kragtige geleentheid van hoop, herinnering en oorwinning. Een span bestaan uit 10 tot 15 lede en registrasiefooi is slechts R650 per span. Of jy stap vir 'n geliefde, veg vir oorlewendes of eer bring aan diegene wat ons verloor het, elke tree maak saak. Kom ons staan saam, kom ons veg kanker saam. Vir meer inligting om jou span te registreer, kontak die voorsitter van die Relay for Life, Mwenda Bennett by 071-062-0319. Kanker Relay for Life na Makwa, want kanker rus nooit en ons ook nie.
It's nothing but a good day and a well one nogals with our matriculants shining throughout the roof, especially when it comes to this year 2025. Now, it's a matter of what the 2026 are going to be doing. Are they going to be excelling, bringing 101%? That's the question they are supposed to be answering through the writing and whatever they have studied. But with all of that being said, I'm CP Ngongo behind the mic, and at this moment we're here in Nababib War School. What strategies do they have for them to have an improvement from 71% to 89%? That's the huge gap within those, and a huge improvement, so to say. But with all of that, I'm having none other than the principal, Ms. Maureen. Ms. Maureen, thank you, man, for being with us in this morning. Hopeful Gela found this milestone and a huge improvement.
Yo, ek sal soos Hanna sê gisteroggend voor ek die uitslag gaan haal, toe kom die song by my op Hanna se gebed. My hart jubel in die Here, my horing is hoog in die Here. My mond is wyd oop teen oor my vyande vir wat die Here gedoen het en nog kan doen by Hoërskool Nababib. So dit is my gevoel. Ek, my eerste plek is die Here, regtig waar. So ons moet vir hom die eer gee. En dan wow. Dit is a huge, as jy daar sê. Verhoging. En as ek nou vinnig dit kan sê, nee, ons het in 2016, van 2016 af sy uitslaat, tot by 2025, dis 'n hele 10 jaar. So 2025 sin is die beste vir die afgelope 10 jaar. So dit is wat ons kan sê, dit is God en God alleen. Maar dan kan ek dankbaar wees teenoor hierdie klas van 2025, hak en tak, alles, maar God was nog net goed vir ons. Maar wat ek kan bysê, my kollegas, alles ingesit, alles probeer. Ons het nie op alle vakke dalk gekry wat ons wou hê nie, maar ons staan agter hierdie 89,47%. Wat jy nou nie genoem het, ek gaan nie dat jy 89 vat nie. Ek vat die 89,47 afgerond, 89,5%. Die distrik wou 90 hê, ons wou 90 en 100 en plus hê, maar ons is dankbaar, ons is vrede, ons is gelukkig. Oh, en wanneer die skool uitgestyg het, die hoërskool, dan het die dorp 'n inspuiting gekry, man. Die hele gemeenskap, die kerke, almal is trots op hoërskool Nababib vir hierdie reuse sprong wat ons gemaak het.
We're speaking about the huge difference between the previous year, 2014, and last year. And we know that last year, guys, you faced some of the challenges, the shortage of teachers, and you have to let us separate or met off you splitting, guys, the subjects amongst yourself. With all of those constraints, how did you guys get to overcome those and making sure you produce what you guys have produced at the moment?
Met die resources wat ons gehad het, die bronne, moes ons net maak en breek. Die departement het vir ons onderwysers gegee, al was dit tydelik en daarvoor is ons dankbaar. So ons kon redelik fly of uitsprei en besluit het ons gaan vat wat ons kry. En ons gaan van hierdie nuwe produk of nuwe vak wat dit moes vat en hierdie onmoontlikheid om te bereik wat ons wou bereik, moes ons iets doen. So ons het belê in hierdie kinders. Op 'n stadium, ons het ekstra klasse gehad, ons periodes was langer, ons het Saterdag klasse gehad, ons het Sondag klasse gehad, sommige onderwysers, ons het aand klasse gehad. Die kinders was weg vir op 'n toertjie Lambert's Bay toe vir 'n motiveringskamp en ons het motivering gedoen daagliks, want dit kos om 'n kind wat regtig nie voel om vandag hier te wees nie, om hom te kry op die level van dis jou matriekjaar, dis jou laaste jaar, sit alles in. Die wyn raak jy op nie, die sigarette raak jy op nie. Niks raak op waarvoor jy nou wil opoffer. Los dit en offer eers op. En dan sal jy sien, hierdie sigarette en wyn verdwyn outomaties later. So ons het die opgewonde groep hier vanoggend gehad met ouers en al. En die kinders is uit hulle vel vir wat hulle vir hoërskool na baie gedoen het. So die opofferings was daar. En dit was en is die moeite werd.
Ja, nee. Throughout those challenges you just mentioned, and how did you guys get to overcome them? And with the strategies that you guys are putting into place, what would you say are some of those strategies that you guys are going to implement this year in keeping from educators, supporting staff, to your learners being motivated in producing the 100%?
Ek het vanoggend 1:30, toe is ek nog wakker en ek is daar, ek is besig daar en ek weet wat ek doen. En ek sê net skielik, Here, 50 uit 50, ons het 50 matrieks in die jaar, 50 uit 50 vir 'n toets is 100%. So ons beweeg na 50 uit 50 uit. So die strategie wat ons gaan gebruik, wat gewerk het, het gewerk, so ons gaan daarby hou. En dit wat nie gewerk het, so die eerste ding wat ons nou vir die graad 12 ouers en kinders gaan sê, is elke dag in die skool elke dag. So dis 'n moet. Jy moet elke dag in die skool wees. Jy moet skoolklere aan hê, elke dag. Geen ander goed, bykomstige goed by nie. Want skoolklere, dissipline begin met jou skoolrig, jou skooltrots begin daar. So ons is harder op dissipline. En dan derdens, alle huiswerk, alle mondelinge, alle opdragte wat gegee word, wil ek kennis van dra. Ek as die skoolbestuurder nou, en ek wil kennis dra. Wie het nie wat gedoen nie? Vroeg betyds. En dan gaan ons met die kinders in gesprek tree, groepgesprekke, one-on-one. Ons kan van ons mense in die gemeenskap gebruik maak. Ons het kerkleiers, ons het oud onderwysers, ons het oud vakhoofde, hier's baie. As ek nou dink aan Pastor Pieter, hulle, Pader Reggie, hulle, en dan dink ek aan meneer Jaars, hulle, meneer Reggie Kloet, hulle. Ons sit met alle bronne op die dorp, en hulle kan sommer deel uitmaak van ons groter QLTC, Quality Learning, team, en dan kan hulle die kinders verder vorentoe vat. En dan werk ons nie net op akademiese gebied, die sportgebied is daar, maar ons wil op die geestelike gebied, wil ons fokus ook by hoërskool in Babie, sodat ons kinders weet dat hierdie gebroke wêreld waarin hulle of huishoudings waarin ons is, kan anders lyk. Ons kan die verskil bring in ons huishoudings. So wat ek hulle altyd sê, jou ma en jou pa wag net vir jou om die lig te kan sien wat jy moet bring in hierdie huishouding. En hoe meer huishoudings ons het waar die lig skyn, hoe groter raak die hele ding. En hoe meer wil ek weet, wat is jou geheim, wat is my geheim? Laat julle se huisgesin nou so straal en uitstaan bo ander. So ons wil die hele, die kind in holisties, het ons laerskool geleer, so ons wil hulle in hulle se volle totaliteit, wil ons hulle oprig, optel en uitlig uit elke situasie in lewe.
What is the status quo pertaining to when it comes to the preparedness, having that the schools are reopening starting as of tomorrow? Mm. It's textbook time, it's the whole stress from the large school, so there's also new grade 12s, all the hooters. So what would you say is the preparedness when it comes to educators, supporting staff, you yourself, keeping yourselves guys up to check as to guys, administration must be on point for everything to go proper.
Ek kom nou, dit is hoe ek laat was, ek kom nou na so 'n klein sportbesprekingkie uit, so wat ons daar gehad het, was alreeds die way forward. We are ready for 2026, are we? But anyway, we are ready. We have our textbooks that we needed. We have sent out our stuff that the children have to buy and the parents have to buy for the kids. And we believe and we trust that everyone will be ready. So the early message is fully prepared with your school wear on from the beginning, from the start. Mm. Everything must be right from the very beginning. So ons is gereed, ons wag die kinders. Ons is ingedeel, ons is, die skool sal begin. Het sy daar genoeg onderwysers of nie? Elke kind sal klas kry van môreoggend of woensdagoggend. Ons gaan net so bietjie môre bietjie meer tyd afstaan ons 'n nuwe graad 8 is, want ons die laerskool net so wil inmeng met die hoërskool en hoe dit nou hier gaan gewees en nie soos dit by die laerskool noodwendig was nie. So ja, die handboeke hoef nie noodwendig nou alles wees nie. En ons wag ons nou nog die vorige jaar se kinders. Hulle bring dit ons nou maar eers maar hierdie jaar terug. So ons sal gereed wees. Ons notas is daar, die onderwysers is gereed. So ons het al mekaar gemotiveer, want ons sit nogal met sterk periodes. Ek wat die admin moet doen, 19 uit die 30 uit, met een collega van my, en juffrou 29 periodes uit die 30 uit, maar alles om te verseker dat elke kind sal sy, as hy by sy klas kom, 'n onderwyser hê, wat vir hom of haar gaan onderrig gee. Ons gaan later die nuttie krities uitwerk, hoe gaan ons maak, kan Radio NFM die dalk 'n borg gee vir 'n onderwyser nie, SPL posie, en ons sal die waarde hierdie drift trek, want met God het ons alles, ons tot alles is.
What I'm getting is a matter of be fully uniformed, which is going to give you the confidence that you are ready to kickstart this year, as you also as educators are ready from your side. But having the readiness from all of these and your call, what would you say or urge specifically when it comes to parents to also support you guys in making success of whatever that you guys are trying to aim for, whatever that you guys are aiming for, in making sure those children are producing the results in order for them to have a bright future?
Ouers moet meer betrokke raak by die skool en by hulle kinders. So wat ons verwag is eintlik 'n vol saal môre, waar miskien al is dit die graad 8 ouers wat al ons saal sal vol sit om te welkom hoor wat gaan by hoërskool Nababib aan. En dan sommige ouers, of ja, ek het vanoggend die graad 12 ouers gesê, julle moet net so bietjie terugsit. Moenie so hastig wees wanneer ons jou kind disiplineer nie. Dit is tot sy of haar voordeel, maar ook tot jou as die ouers se voordeel. So vat die dissipline, vat die orde wat hierdie skool vir jou kind gaan bied. Want hoërskool Nababib is gefokus, sterk gefokus op dissipline. Want dissipline gaan vir hulle deure oopkry en oopmaak. So 'n gedissiplineerde kind kry gedissiplineerde aandag, kry gedissiplineerde liefde en kry 'n gedissiplineerde rapport uit. So dit is wat ons wil hê van ouers. Speel saam met ons, trek saam met ons die wa. Wees kwaad bietjie vir ons, maar kom terug en sê, "Ai, ek was onnodig kwaad." En weet dat hoërskool Nababib is 'n huis vir u kind. Hier is maans en paans by hierdie skool. Hier is ouers wat vandag skeel en môre sit ons die selfies op. So kom ons trek hierdie waarde, hierdie dissipline wa, hierdie orde wa, hierdie geestelike wa. Ek dink elke ouer het 'n ideaal van wie sy of haar kind moet wees. Maar moet nog weer waak ook daarteen. Lyk jy nie jou eie ideale, wat jy miskien nie bereik het nie, op die kind wil afforceer nie. Want dan sit ons nou nog met die geval op. Ons is waarlik waar, is ons maatskaplike werkers. Ons is ouers, ons is predikante, so ons moet regtig die volle bediening van die lewe dien ons voor ons uit by hoërskool na Babie. Moet nie waar nie, as hy hier gekom het, hy of sy sal een beter wese wees as hy ander kant uitkom. Dit kan ek garantie.
That is it, my mensen. But lastly, I would like to get the word of the day, or rather of 2026. What is the statement or the line or sentence or two of them, probably as to keeping you guys motivated and for also for the learners also to bear in mind for them to keep motivating themselves and not to slack in anything, whether they are going through their ups and downs, especially that you are with them. No matter what.
In God, we put our trust. And we always ask for the hand of God over the school, over the people of the school, those that are involved in the school and the community. So in God, we put our trust.
The Lord is the answer to everything.
Yes.
Pray and believe that it is the response of today. But that it is, as says the Deputy Principal here at Nababi Water School. With me, CP and Ngong, we are still on the ground, station to Radio NFM, the voice of the Namaka people.
So I'm bopping, I'm putting my body.